Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Andrew, thank you very much for that. Now, the Israeli military has announced that Hamas military chief Mohammed Deif has been killed in a strike it carried out last month in Gaza's southern area of Khan Yunis. The military's confirmation it had killed Deif comes a day after the killing of the political chief of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, in Tehran, which was announced by Iranian Revolutionary Guards and Hamas. But before we came on air, I spoke to Or Yizikar from the Israel Defence and Security Forum, and I began by asking him for his reaction to the announcement of the death of the Hamas leaders.
Let's take a broader look and see what Israel is trying to do here, because we can tell how the October 7 attacks really shook Israel up and down the ladder. And I think the recent targeted killings show that Israel really took gloves off and is attempting on the lives of senior Hamas leaders. I think that in general, Israel, in my estimate, has avoided such a step insofar as there were still chances for an encompassing, let's say, a comprehensive hostage deal. And such moves would probably damage the deal, at least in the early stages. But right now, we've reached a point where more military pressure means also more senior officials targeted in order probably to bring Hamas to a tipping point and to also subdue its leaders into understanding or recognizing that they must accept a deal in more favorable conditions to Israel.
You mentioned that it may cause problems for a hostage deal, and many people have said that. The US has said that. Why then take this step? And does that not put hostages at the back of your list of priorities?
No, I don't think so. I think that Israel has been trying to negotiate over the hostage deal. It desperately wants one, let me tell you, speaking with senior officials, because we understand that there are dozens of living hostages in Gaza, according to estimates, and the sooner we're bringing them home, the better. The problem is that we're talking about a murderous terrorist organization here that has actually kidnapped them in the first place in order to serve as human shields. And some experts say that Sinwar, the leader of Hamas in Gaza, is surrounding himself with living hostages as a human shield. I think that even the IDF spokesperson referred to that when he said they made sure when Mohammed Deif and Marwan Issa were eliminated in Gaza that there were no hostages around them. This is a really high level of human, I'm confident of that, like human intelligence. And I'm sure that this...
Well, Mohammed
Deif kind of
was killed in a strike in July that killed 90 people and wounded 300.
These are Hamas numbers. I always doubt Hamas numbers. In general...
How many people were killed in the strike if it wasn't 90?
I have no idea, but there were reportedly a handful of people around him, including
reportedly
the bodyguards.
By whom? Purportedly by whom?
By local testimonies on the ground.
Who is that?
But then official,
sorry, because you've told me I can't take Hamas figures or figures from the Gaza Health Ministry, but you're talking about unnamed officials on the ground. Who are they?
We cannot put our trust in health authorities in Gaza. That means taking Hamas figures for granted. In general, this is a tendency of international organizations, like in OCHA, the United Nations.
But or you will accept that you've just said there are a handful of people killed, and you've given me no evidence for that. We do know there were multiple strikes in Gaza in July. We've spoken to medical staff on the ground who've spoken to us about big strikes that have killed multiple people. It could well have been one of those strikes. I don't have that detail. I would assume you in the IDF would.
Yeah, well, it's difficult, as you understand, to know the exact number when you're not on the ground. But then we cannot also, on the other hand, we can't just put our trust in health authorities in Gaza. It's a bit like adopting ISIS or Al-Qaeda numbers. We can just safely say we don't know how many people were killed there. And we can also safely say that Mohammed Deif, as many other Hamas leaders, has a habit of surrounding himself with people as human shields. And I think...
All right, well, I will tell you what the reporting has said up to this point, which is that he was killed in a strike that killed 90 people and wounded 300 in a zone that had been designated by the Israeli military as safe. Do you accept there is nowhere safe in Gaza for Palestinians at this point?
Absolutely not. I think, first of all, the Mohammed Deif targeted killing was not conducted, actually, in a safe zone. And I hear this talking point repeated even by the French president and other UN officials. And this is just another means to put pressure on Israel. I think that...
Where are the safe places in Gaza?
The Mawasi area is a designated humanitarian zone.
That has been struck by the IDF, the Mawasi area.
No, actually, there was a Hamas warehouse that was ignited and exploded right around 1.7 kilometers away from a reported strike. This is once again, I'm trying to make a broader point here that there was a lot of huffing and puffing around the international community around Israeli strikes, such as the UNRWA school incident last month, allegedly killed 35 children, and apparently there were 17 Hamas militants, and later evidence confirmed that. So
Well, I'd love to see
there
that
are
evidence, because we never see the evidence that is produced on how many people were killed. In terms of the hostages, the president, your own president, Isaac Herzog, has said we can't say we've won this war until we bring the hostages home. How are you going to get the hostages home now that you've killed the leader, Ismail Haniyeh, who was the political leader and the negotiator for Hamas? How will you get the hostages home?
Well, I think it's a combination of military pressure on steroids. And I think the international community should also rally around the Israeli cause, also to put pressure on Iran. We see how the situation vis-a-vis Iran has evolved lately. And we can also say that Iran is one of the, maybe the chief sponsor of Hamas. I hardly see any international pressure or willingness to deal with the Iranian issue. And I think we should also not forget how
just
we ended up.
In terms of the military pressure that you're talking about, since as of the 24th of July, 116 hostages have been returned alive to Israel. 105 of those were released in a prisoner exchange deal. So that was when the two sides were talking to each other. Four were released by Hamas unilaterally. Seven have been rescued by the Israeli Defense Forces through military pressure, is what you're talking about. And during that time, three were actually shot by the IDF during military pressure. So do you really believe, looking at those figures, that military pressure is the right way to go?
These are not mutually exclusive statements. I'm saying that Israel desperately wants a deal. I stated that earlier. I'm just saying Israel cannot possibly accept a deal under any circumstance. There are no red lines. And that would also mean that one of Hamas' main demands, that he sent back right around 29 corrections to the original Israeli and Biden administration's proposal, that he said that there were, that actually Hamas demanded full Israeli withdrawal from the Gaza Strip, the Philadelphia route. I'm reminding you, Philadelphia route, the Gaza-Egypt border, which Israel had not controlled prior to the October 7 massacre, had not been under Israeli control. And that really what enabled Hamas to accumulate really a whole plethora of Iranian ammunition. The whole Iranian ammunition used by Hamas on October 7 did not land from the moon. They were armed to their teeth with Iranian ammunition flowing right across the Philadelphia route.
I want to ask you a report that was released by the United Nations yesterday outlining the torture and mistreatment of thousands of Palestinians in Israeli detention that included medical staff, patients and residents fleeing the conflict, children among them. The UN report said they're held in secret, they're given no reason for their detention, they have no access to a lawyer, many are held in cage-like facilities, they're stripped naked for prolonged periods, wearing only diapers, prolonged blindfolding, deprivation of food, water, sleep, subjected to electric shocks, burnt with cigarettes and had dogs set on them.
These reports, and I know this genre of the United Nations, much like it claims that 40,000 Palestinians were killed in Gaza with no shred of evidence, but Hamas figures. The United Nations senior officials also said that Israel has no right to defend itself. That was said by Francesca Albanese, the envoy to the Middle East. So I'm just saying.
Well, I haven't heard any United Nations figure in recent times saying that Israel has no right to defend itself. You don't believe the report because it's from the UN, is that correct?
Exactly.
Would you believe the report from CNN, the journalist in CNN who produced an almost identical report a couple of months ago when they investigated the same detention camp? They found in that instance that there were prisoners who had to have their limbs amputated because they were handcuffed so constantly. Or would you believe Dr. Nick Maynard, who we had on this programme, a surgeon who visited Gaza and spoke to some prisoners who'd been held in detention and reported pretty much the exact same thing the UN has reported. He reported speaking to medical staff who had dogs set on them, who were tortured, who were held without any charges being put to them.
Because knowing the Israeli defense establishment, and I was part of it for several years, and this is really what I do right now, and also talk to many, many senior officials and people on the ground. This is detached from any reality that I know. I can tell you that it's not mutually exclusive. If there are any irregularities, let's say soldiers who were recently arrested for maltreatment of prisoners in a camp.
Are you talking about the gang rape of a prisoner that was
So in these instances, the military police comes and investigates, and over 70 cases were investigated in this war. But I'm sensing a broader attempt to delegitimize Israel's right to defend itself here.
I'm not speaking about Israel's right to defend himself. I'm asking you valid questions about multiple reports from different sources that Israel is mistreating and torturing Palestinian prisoners, thousands of them, en masse.
Sounds to me like a wild exaggeration, even though it comes from several sources. I can safely tell you that there are multiple bodies who are actively engaged, who that's what they do for a living, in delegitimizing Israel's right to defend itself.
Would you support an independent investigation then of this detention camp?
Absolutely. There is no problem. I'm just saying that there is no reason to believe such reports, much like the starvation accusation, much like the genocide in schools. These things simply never
happened.
Well,
the reasons to believe those sort of reports, like the starvation accusations, is when, I don't know if you've taken the time to do it or, but if you speak to medical staff working on the ground, which we do on this program every single week, you will speak to people, medical staff who are working with patients on the ground in Gaza, who report instances of starvation and malnutrition, of patients being unable to recover from their injuries because they are so malnourished, or indeed of patients just not being given the option to recover because they can't be given a machine because there is no machine, or because there is no pain medication, so they can't be given a ventilator, for example. We heard that on the program yesterday.
I'm quite just quietly asking yourself, any teams you send to be invited to talk on your show with Israelis whose limbs were amputated by Hamas terrorists on October 7th, and ever since, dozens of soldiers whose limbs were amputated. I would very much appreciate
horrific.
To listen to horror stories of gang rapes of hostages in
We have covered that on this program, but that's not what I'm asking you about right now.
I'm glad to hear it, but I'm saying that the idea that people don't get enough food or don't get enough treatment in Gaza, it's reasonable in some extent. I don't accept the fact that there is mass starvation of millions in Gaza. Even when the Vice President of the United States says it, it's simply incomprehensible. And in my opinion, I just look at the numbers, even the UN reports that we like quoting, the recent UN report negated the accusation of starvation. And I just can tell you, because there are over 500 trucks crossing the Rafah crossing every single day, carrying so far 700,000 tons of humanitarian aid.
Ori Issachar, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you.